Boker Tov to everyone here and everyone who's not here with us, but everyone who is here with us. Sounds like Mount Harasinai. To those who are here with us and those who are not here with us, which is everyone, really. If anyone who wants to listen can listen on the podcast, on free internet, JerusalemCats.com, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but not on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Told me. We're learning together Masechet Brachot, Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Brachot, we just in the middle of what Brachot you say. Now we're coming to whether or not you're allowed to say prayers that you want to say. The truth is, you can't. Even your prayers, you have to be careful what prayers you have to pray. What do we mean? So in this case, we're looking at the fact that it's not good to pray a prayer in vain. Truth is, if you're not using Shem Hashem, but maybe it's just, I don't know what the lesson is here, it's a hashkofic lesson, that it's not very useful, it's a waste of your time, or you're actually doing something negative. You can even say it's something negative from a hashkafic point of view. It's a lack of emunah, or it's just a lack of understanding of the world, lack of understanding of Hashem. Think that He can change something. Maybe it's arrogance, or it's stupidity.
He can change.
He's saying not nature. Well, I don't know. I don't even know because
no.
That the fruit tree would grow and give all the fruit to the workers because the father hadn't paid them yet, and the son came along. He made a miracle, but he didn't change something that already happened. Because in our example in the Mishnah, if you come to a city and you pray that's not in my house, Bezrat Hashem, make that not be in my house. It's already happened.
Yeah.
So either it was already in your house or it wasn't. If you want Hashem to change it, that it was in your house and now you prayed that it's now not going to be in your house, what's Hashem going to do? He's going to rewind. What's he going to? Well, I don't know what he's going to do.
Isn't that arrogance?
So that's what I'm saying. So we're trying to speak out here. What is the problem with praying a prayer that's too late or in vain? Is it just something that Hashem is pointing out and telling us you should realize, think about the prayer, because sometimes it won't be appropriate, meaning you'll just waste your time. It's like a bit of good advice. Or is he saying it's like a bracha l'matala, or it's a hashkafic problem with your amuna that you think that
you
I'm going to do
pray,
this?
But he's
praying. After the Mishnah says, what's the wording of the Mishnah? That he won't.
How was with Elisha?
When
he came in the Shema meeting, the boy was dead.
He didn't change nature that he wasn't going to be dead. He brought him back to life. He was dead. He agreed, you're dead for sure, and now I'm bringing you back to life. But I'm not changing, like in the. You see the difference here. If you come into the city and you pray, Hashem, please let that not be coming from my house. It is. So if it is coming from your house and you make that prayer, and Hashem says, you know what, I'd love to agree with you and to hear your prayer and to answer your prayer, what's Hashem going
to
do?
So he can pray, stop the fire.
He can stop it, but not to change that it wasn't, maybe that it came from someone else's house. Where's the thing? Right. If he was coming along the road and he heard the screaming in the city, and it says, may it be that this screaming is not taking place within my house. It's a prayer in vain. Yehiwat son, shelote hei batok beiti. It's a Yehiwat son. Yehiwat son. So Yehiwat son isn't Shem the Malchut. And we do make prayers without Shem the Malchut in a doubt. Like we saw here in the Gemara. If you're not sure, say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, but without saying Shem the Malchut. So you do ke'ilu make the form of the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Hatov V'Meitiv. Even in a situation that maybe it wasn't right to make that. But I suppose that's a praise from Hashem. But here, you hear about someone, maybe your will. Maybe it's just a, I mean, on a logical, it's just a dumb thing to do. May it be your will, but it won't be from my house. How can, it's only decided, I mean, it's just like, it's just illogical. How can it not be? I mean, it is what it is. May it be your will, Hashem, that this not be an orange pen. I mean, what do you call that? That's just dumb. It's like, it's not like a, it's just something.
But in the long run.
Wait, why did you bother?
I think it's in Garden of the Moon, I'm not sure where.
Yeah.
But in the long run, we don't know what's good and what's bad, because what may look to be good,
yeah,
in the long run may be bad for us, and vice versa.
Okay, so.
So it's like, we don't have the humility to really understand what's going on.
Nahon, but Hashem still wants us to pray.
Right.
So if we have someone, something not nice happening in our home, Hashem still wants us to do Tehillim and pray, Hashem, please make someone who's not well, well.
Right.
For example, and we don't say, it's all good. I see that you're sick and you're suffering, but it's good. Why? Because Hashem also wants our prayers, wants us to pray. The avot who were barren, all the avot, the imaot, they couldn't give children, right? So they didn't say that it's much better for our. They had a munah coming out of their ears. They didn't say it's much better. Whatever you want, Hashem, it's great.
No, but
we have no kids. It's great. Don't worry, I'm not even praying on
give
it.
They the example said, of this
they said you prayed it. Could why does it Hashem? And Hashem wanted to hear their prayers.
Right, but going back to giving you the example of. The screaming in the city.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
No, so what? So he wants us to pray about it. He's not saying forget about it. Whatever's good, whatever's happened. And if it's your house, it's trust me, it's good, still good for you. He's not saying that. He's saying not saying don't pray, but the Gemara is saying, the Mishnah is saying don't pray that it's not in your home. He's saying it. So also you should pray. So when you hear that scream coming to the city, the prayer should be, I don't know, I'm making this up as I go along, but it should be, if that's from my house, then it should be that everything's okay and it's not really a bad thing and everything should turn out fine and Hashem should help us, all, right?
But it's not egoistic.
Why?
Because you're not thinking of the other. You think only, okay, or I'm safe, but the other, okay.
No, so that's also a bad midah. Exactly. There should be, no, that's also a bad midah. But that, you're right, but that's not what they don't say here. This is a bad prayer because you're wishing your troubles onto someone else. You're right as well. But that's not the ikkar of what.
God was in your home, it's your home too.
Yeah, I mean, if I say, Bezrat Hashem, there shouldn't be any sicknesses in my home, but if throw the ball onto someone else, obviously it's not.
If you hear about a plane crash, you say, I hope my brother wasn't on a plane.
Correct.
Or I could say, if my brother were on a plane, I hope he survived.
The second one is good. The first one is you can say, I hope he wasn't on the plane, because that's a true. I actually do hope that he wasn't on the plane. But there's no one praying to Hashem, make it be that my brother wasn't on that plane. Hashem's like looking at you like,
I hope they didn't know.
What do you expect from me at this point? You want me to take him off? We'll undo a reverse. There's a scene in a Goethe film called Superman, where he spins the world backwards to try and do stuff. Hashem doesn't spin the world backwards. As far as I know, I mean, we wouldn't know, because if he did it, we'd only see the other.
We wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know exactly. So, but presumably, from what we know, that's not what happens. Hashem knows what he's doing. Everything he's done is for the good. It's exactly how he wants it. He doesn't undo. He changes, but he doesn't undo. Kilu. Once he's decided, then that's it. You might have supernatural events that come afterwards, right? Someone died, so fine, we'll revive him. Tichriyat Emetim. But he doesn't undo that he never died in the first place.
I mean, still they'll go up to heavenly court and they'll be judged.
Then they'll come down and if in the time of Elisha, they had the book Ora Ganuv, he would have written his story in there too, that he went up to the heavenly court and then he came back down. And then next thing you know, is Alicia's on top of him and he's like, what am I doing here? Well, he would have written it down, right? But
now it's on YouTube.
Which is?
People dying, coming back to life.
Right.
And being in the heavenly court.
Right, so Alicia would, the boy would have also, he would have, so to speak, been on the YouTube of that generation and told about it too. Sure.
I mean, it could be anything from, you know, you're forgiven of your sins, don't do lush and horror.
Right.
Just ask my wife.
It's becoming more and more prevalent because we need it more and more. We need to know. We need to know what's going on. Okay, Yofi, so we're in the Gemara. So in 60A1, Samach Aleph, middle of the page. And we said that the Mishnah told us about a ruling that the Gemara is now going to take in a different direction. The Mishnah said a person needs to bless on the bad the same way he blesses on the good. Right? Which face value in the Mishnah just means is a standard Emunah principle, right? But now the Gemara is taking that line and actually going somewhere different with it. It's now saying, what does it mean? It means that when you bless on the bad, you should also know that you bless on the bad even if it's going to come out favorably. And you bless on the good even if you think it's going to come out badly. So, which is not exactly what the Mishnah was talking about, apparently. But the Gemara kind of is using that as its jump-off point. It's learning it out, perhaps, from there, because it's bringing that as the initial wording of this sugya, when actually it doesn't seem to be, to me, to be connected to the sugya, but it's bringing that as the initial wording and then saying, you should know that something that is bad that might turn out good, you still make Baruch Dayanemet, and something that is good that turns out bad, you still make Baruch HaTovametim. So we saw yesterday the bad thing that happens that could turn out good is the example of the flood that goes across a person's land, so it kills all his crops, but it's watered his field very nicely for the next season. Thank you very much, Hashem. However, you say one brocha, which is Baruch Dayanemet in that case. Right? Something, the bad news. The second example was something good that could turn out to be bad. You find a lot of money, you win the lottery, you're very happy. So you say Shechianu, you say Baruch HaTovametiv, depending on what the nature of that situation is. Even though you could better start praying. Better start praying a lot, everything's good. It's a turnout pattern. Now in the wording of the Gemara, the bad thing is that the king could find out and want to take all your money. He doesn't want any competition or whatever it is.
With the tax man.
Yes, or the taxman. Hayta ishtot muberet. So then we got to the question of a woman that is pregnant. That's where we left it yesterday. Hayta ishtot muberet. You with me? Yeah. Right? If a person's wife is pregnant, he says, Yehi ratzon shetayled zachar. You can say, if he says Yehi ratzon, if you say, may it be will Hashem, that this turns out to be a boy, that's a brocha in vain. Harezul tefilat shav, from the Mishnah. Mishnah is saying that. Not the Gemara, the Mishnah. So now we're going to see exactly what the situation is. Because the Gemara is going to challenge that and say, wait a minute, we see situations where you are allowed to pray. So what's going on? So we're going to see a bit closer to exactly what situation the Mishnah is talking about where you're not allowed to do that, where it would be a prayer in vain, because some situations you are allowed. So let's see now. So the Gemara says, V'lo mahane rachame, and does it not help rachame? Rachame here means rachamim Hashem, pshat. Rachamim also means mercy, but pshat is, does it not help? Or rachame also means prayer, actually. So does not prayer help? Right? Prayer doesn't help to change, to define the the gender of the fetus. Right? Because we see in Pasuk from Bereshit, v'acha yalda v'tikra et shma dina. Okay, we see in Bereshit Leia has a child, and it says, Racha Yalda, after she gave birth to a bat, to a daughter, Vitikra, and she called Et Shema Dina, and she called her name Dina. Right. Okay, so far so good. Doesn't seem to be a big signpost either way so far. It's just a tongue. Okay, so let that. The Gemara's going to explain its proof from here. Okay? Ma'ai va'achar. What does it mean, ma'ai? What is it? Va'achar. What is this va'achar? Why did it, right, so the when you have the eyes of a Tana or an Amora, when you're reading the Torah, you pick up words that, well, what's that word doing here? Right? You're reading the Torah and you see that words usually superfluous. Right? I don't need that. After what? Or it's begging the question, after what? Yeah, but so what? If it's obvious, you don't say it. Meaning it's coming to teach you something that it's got. It's pregnant with meaning.
Oh, that's a double meaning.
Yeah. In fact, that's a good quote for this one. It's pregnant with meaning. It has within it, it begs the question, after what? And after she gave birth. After what? Right? So the Gemara says, after what? What's this after? Amar Rav, Rav says, Lacha shedana Leia din batma v'amra. After she judged herself, dana Leia din batma, Leia judged herself, she did some cheshbon nefesh, she judged herself, v'amra, and she said to herself, she did the math, this is cheshbon nefesh, literally, she did the math, cheshbon. Right? Shnem asar shvatim, 12 tribes, atidim, that sent me Yaakov, 12 tribes are destined to come from Yaakov. They knew all this stuff. They were holy, holy. They knew then what's going to be. Okay. Shisha yatsu mimeni. 6 have already come from me. Haray. Sorry. Ba'alba min hashvachot. 4 have come from the shivchot, the maidservants. The Bilha and Zilpah. Right? So that's 10. Haray asara. That's 10. Im zezachar. If this one is a boy, then if this one is a boy, then my sister Rachel will not be like even one of the maidservants. What does that mean? If I take this one, then there's only one left. And even if Rachel gets that last one, then the maidservants already have 2 each. So it's not going to be covered for my sister Rachel that she's going to be less than the maidservants. So I don't want this one to be a boy. Yeah? Follow the logic?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Miyad nehefcha levat. Immediately it transformed. Nehefcha. Ke'ilu, implicit in that is that hafoch, it was a boy. It transformed from being a boy into a girl. Shnema, like it says, v'tikra et shma dina. And she called her name Dina. What's the... I think... Do you have an explanation in your footnote after that piece? Oh no, you haven't got the keyboard commentary? Because the English commentary kind of... there's something missing here. There's a pregnant meaning here that's missing. And therefore, because what's it say? And therefore it transformed from a girl into a boy. And that's why she called it Dina. Meaning what?
God
touched her request. Yeah, on a pshat, but it seems to be a bit more than that. See, I'll read you the footnote. It says here, which doesn't satisfy me. The footnote here after that is, a reason is provided for the names given to all her other children, right? All the sons. The reason why this is called, right?
Dina.
Yet, no reason is offered for the name Dina. Okay.
It's not so.
Full stop.
The beginning looks bad, and then it's good. The Dean, because
yes,
not judge.
Diane.
Then because he wanted. Because she was thinking of the boy. Now she prayed. Make her own
din. She made her own
so now
din.
Can a girl was that in school? Looks like that, but it was good.
Because in the beginning, when he was saying she get a boy, so it looks bad. Because she was sitting on her sister.
So Din, so because Din has a negative connotation. Right? Din is not a happy name. When you call someone, it's not good to call someone Din. Din is a negative side. Din is the left. Your chesed is Din. Right? Din is not the good. It's not what you choose. So Din is kind of a pejorative, if you like. It's a negative name to give.
In the beginning, it was bad.
But still, on the face, on the pshat, the din is negative, and to call someone a daughter in this case, indicates maybe that.
No, not to call din.
We have din like dan. We have the name dan. Also,
Okay.
God judges me. I have everything.
Okay.
So
we do all that as well.
Give an explanation if you call a girl by the same name.
When did that come?
Say, there's a lot of women in Israel, they call Dina.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's nothing else.
Why? I don't know. I have a friend whose daughter's called Dina, and she has, unfortunately, she has a lot of problems, a lot of issues, and they're considering changing her name.
Change
name, yeah. Because Dina is not a particularly happy name. Dina means judgment. Means judgment. Means din. Not.
Like Dan.
Not. Huh?
Dan.
Nahon. But although Dan is kind of like judged in the past, Dina is like now. Dina is more kind of like present. So, just my view. I'm just.
Dan is also the present.
Dan, no. Dan is past.
Not necessarily.
Dan is the din. Okay. So you want to say here? Well, that's it. So it's not clear. That's the explanation. Why? At the time of the birth, they didn't know. Just came to them and there's a nice name, and then afterwards you see, oh, well, actually maybe that wasn't a good name to choose.
So they could add a name.
Uh-huh. So that's what they're thinking. So that's what they're like, yeah. I think it's a good idea, but what do I know? Okay. Okay. So it's tough. So that's still, for me, that still is a bit closed. I don't know about you, but I'm not completely.
Does Rashi or anyone else say anything?
Well, it's less a good idea. Let's have a look and see if Rashi says anything.
She changed after she was born?
She changed after, yeah, apparently, yeah. Nehefach. She nehefach. She was going to be a boy, and she changed to a girl.
She was a boy.
She was a boy originally, and she changed to be a girl. So. No, can't see anything in there. Nope. Okay. Top. If someone wants to look further, they have to get the what's it called? The Matipta. Look for the commentaries in there. Okay.
Either that or go to the baby naming book. There's a wonderful book that gives all the histories of names and all their variations.
Oh, okay, let's move on. So the Gemara says, so that apparently is a contradiction to what we just learned. The Mishnah says, if your wife is pregnant, then you shouldn't pray that it's a specific gender, because that's a prayer in vain, it is what it is. But wait a minute, the Gemara says, wait a minute, doesn't it help? For sure it helps. You see Rav's explanation of that pasuk is, it helps. It was going to be a boy. She changed it to a girl. Clearly, prayer at the time of pregnancy is very helpful. We've got proof from the Torah.
She didn't have to during the pregnancy.
How do you know?
During the pregnancy.
I'm sorry. During the pregnancy.
When she was pregnant, Hashem shut her.
During the pregnancy, she prayed that it. She said, "Let this one be a male so that my, she didn't know what it was. She had let this one come out as a male, right? A female. Yeah. There was no supernatural. How did she? No, she said if. She said if this one comes out to be a boy, I don't know. So if it is, so Bezrat Hashem, it should be a girl. She says so that.
Every word, every name what she gave, have a meaning. Now she gets a girl and she it's a Hashem Shachem. Because I was praying for her.
Understand what I mean? Kilo, that's a
she
judgment.
Was praying, Hashem, please not
like a not good, she realized it wasn't a good thing. Maybe.
Because when Hashem wanted, Rachel too, she got a girl.
Right.
I should pray.
Nachon. Thank you. Have a good day. Tov. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Over there, it helped. However, ein mazkirin ma'asenisin. We do not recall, meaning we don't use a ma'asenisin miracles. Yeah, that was clearly miraculous. Miraculous things happen to the avot. And here, at least, the Gemara is saying we don't rely on miracles as proofs for halachic rulings. Right? The halacha is you're allowed to do something, you're not allowed to do something. Right? There's no halacha. The halacha is not that you're allowed to put vinegar into your Shabbos candles and say light. No, the halacha is put olive oil in. And don't be silly. Right? Because you don't take a proof from what worked for him. So I'm halachically on good ground to try and light with it. Right?
Right, but you're not on that level.
If you think you're
on that level.
Right, so you don't need the Gemara to paskin whether or not you're allowed to pray. So the fact that the fact that Leah was able to do it is not a reason to... The fact that Hashem did a miracle for her doesn't mean he's going to do a miracle for you. Again, I'm not sure how to understand it. Ain't maskirin masen, he said. Here, it seems to be, maskirin seems to be, in terms of the argument, you can't bring that up as an argument, and not that it doesn't work, but you can't, we're not bringing that as a proof. Right, just like we don't, maybe the story of Rabbi Yishmael and the oven, and the tree that walked backwards, and the river that got up, and right? We don't bring proofs from miracles.
Well, right. How about modern day miracles, like last year, where we had almost 1,600 missiles from Gaza hitting Israel, and just, what, 8 people died? And was it 3 or 5 of them were doing something dumb and actually standing in a balcony when they had a missile alert?
Right, but we don't bring proofs for miracles, so halakhically you wouldn't use that as the basis for, I don't know, anyway, I don't know what to talk about. So let's move on. Okay, alternatively, we can understand the above story in a different way. We can understand the above story that it wasn't actually miraculous at all. How was it? Ma'aseh de Leah b'toch arba'im yom hava. The incident regarding Leah took place within the first 40 days. Why does that make a difference? Because we have a chazal over here, a brighter, which tells us that in the first 40 days, the gender is not yet determined. And therefore, during that first 40-day period, great, pray.
But when she cannot pray,
after the 40
days, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
She now has to say no children. She can pray Hashem, bless her with 2 boys. She can pray this way.
When?
Yeah.
2 boys.
For Gachem. She prayed.
No, but she knew there was only 12, a maximum of 12.
Yeah, no, but when she prayed, Hashem, let my sister have 2 boys.
Instead of saying, let me have a girl.
Yeah.
No, it's the same thing. Because if she knows there's only 12, maximum, then if she has 2 boys, then it must be that, and it's the same thing, that mine... must be a girl. It's the same thing. It's better, maybe, but it's the same thing that it had to change my whatever's in my stomach has to change to fall in with that. Okay, so the writer says, Shlosha Yamim Harishonim, the first 3 days after conception, Yivakesh Adam Rachamim Shelo Yasriach. A man should pray for Rachamim, for mercy, what? Shelo Masriach, that it doesn't go rotten, it doesn't putrefy, that his seed, for 3 days, that's the time that the Gemara understands there's validity of the man's seed. So for the first 3 days, he should pray that his seed is good and healthy. Mishlosha va'ad arba'im, from that 3 day period until the 40 days, yivakesh rachamim, should ask for mercy, sheyehei zachar, that it's a boy, if he wants a boy, doesn't have to. Either if he wants a girl, he should pray for a girl.
When they were in Mount Sinai before they were in Torah,
yeah.
It was 3 days there.
Uh-huh.
3 days.
Oh, yeah, fair. Okay. Yeah, fair, also good.
Yeah, I was kind of 2 days.
So for the first 40 days after that, then you can pray that it will be a boy. And from 40 days until the end of the first 3 months, Yivakesh Rachamim Shelo Yeh Sandal, should pray for mercy that it's not a sandal. What's a sandal? A sandal is a deformity in the child. It's a deformity in the child that it comes out looking like a sandal, like a shoe. Some part of the is flattened. Some of the explanation, the face is flattened, or the like a shoe. The shoes then were flat. They weren't like. Rishlosha chodashim v'ad shisha, from 3 months to 6 months, yivakesh rachamim shelo yehi nefel, you should ask for mercy that it shouldn't abort during the 3 to 6 months. Nefel means to fall, literally, that it should be right. And mishisha, and from 6 months is now viable to get bored from 6 months. So from 6 months, the prayer is different. Mishisha v'ad tisha, from 6 to 9 months, yivakesh rachamim, sheyitse b'shalom, should pray that it comes out fine. So, there we have the life cycle of a fetus, according to Chazal. Yofi. Different prayer. So we see, so super. So now we're back to the fact that now our Mishnah is not a complete picture. The Mishnah said, if you pray that it's a boy, that's a prayer in vain. So truth is, if you pray it's a boy, it's fine in the first 40 days. After that, it's a prayer in vain. Okay. Gemara says, Umi mahane rachame. But is it helpful? Does it really help to pray on a child? Meaning, even in the first 40 days where you've told me you can pray, is prayer going to help? I'm going to show you why prayers shouldn't, according to the proof we're going to bring now, prayer should not affect what is going to, whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. Why? Because the Gemara elsewhere says, Vama Rav Yitzhak Bered Rav Ami, Rav Yitzhak says, in the name of Rav Ami, Ish Mazruya Tachila, if the man gives his seed first, you'll let it in the keva, it will be a girl. Isha Mazruya Tachila, if the woman gives her seed first, then you'll let it zacha, it will be a boy. Shanae Mai brings a proof from Vayikra, which says, Isha Kitazuya Vialda Zacha. A woman emits seed and has a boy. Right? So you see that actually it depends, according to this Gemara, what happens at conception. Right? And it's decided there and then. It's not decided during that 40-day period. It's actually decided there and then. The way the fetus develops depends on who gave seed first, however we understand that physiologically. But in either way, there is a physiological difference that leads to whether or not it's a boy or a girl. Hacha b'mai maskina. Wait a minute. What are we dealing with here? Says the Gemara. Could God shehizriu shneihem bebatachat? No, we could be talking about a case where they gave seed, both of them together at the same time. In that case, it's not determined. In that case, there is effectiveness to the prayer, right? Because then Hashem is not undoing nature to change whatever the sex is, right? Because it's not yet been determined. So that's what we could be talking about. So when the Mishnah says, so what were we left with? We're left with the Mishnah telling us, if your wife is pregnant, that if you start praying it's a boy or it's a girl, it's a prayer in vain. She's already pregnant, it's been decided, you can't undo, and Hashem doesn't turn boys into girls and girls into boys. Whatever it is, no point praying for a particular gender, because it is what it is. It's a prayer in vain. Unless you're talking during the first 40 days. During the first 40 days, the gender of the fetus in the understanding of Chazal has not yet been determined. And during the first 40 days, you can pray. You can pray, and that is effective. But wait a minute, isn't it dependent on who gave their seed first? Correct, usually, yes it is. However, we're talking about, it might be a case, you don't know. Maybe you know, you don't know. It depends on how knowledgeable you are of these things. But let's say, certainly we don't know. Right, you don't know who gave seed first. And therefore there's a possibility that it happened at the same time. And therefore there's a possibility that you can indeed change. And therefore for the first 40 days, because of the possibility that you can indeed change the gender of your child, so you should pray. Pray during the first 40 days for what you want. You want a boy, pray for a boy. You want a girl. But after that, no point.
Only from the fourth day on.
From the fourth day on. The first 3 days you should be praying that everything, that its seed is viable. And after that, from 3 to 40 days, it's good.
And this conversation my wife last night.
You
I'm telling you, I'm not in the farmers. It's that conversation.
If you have to pray before, I have enough to teach. You have to build your vessel.
For yes, but not
before
for
you have
not
boy
and then you have it. When are you due?
No, she's not due. We just happen to be talking about some people.
Oh, I see. Right.
Kids that come out in certain different ways. I said everything is dependent on the moment of conception.
Okay.
And, I mean.
Top. So. You have to build a vessel. Tom, we should pray on everything. No. So we have vessels, but we have to know what to pray for. We have to know whether or not the prayer is a good prayer. It's a valid prayer.
Is it more brachos?
Yeah.
Samach
Hamad Aleph. Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. Now, so then we come to the second case of Tefillat Shav, a prayer that is made in vain. What's the second case that the Mishnah brought us? The Mishnah brought us a case that if you come into the city and you hear screaming from your neighborhood, you shouldn't pray that it's not coming from my house. Waste of time. If it is, it is. And if it isn't, it isn't. But Hashem is not going to undo the last 24 hours so that it doesn't come from your house now because you're praying about it, where before you came into the city, it was your house, and now you've just changed it. So, no point praying it's not from my house. Pray on something else, but I don't pray on stuff that's illogical and can't be done. It's not going to undo it. I hope, Baruch Hashem, I hope. It's natural to hope that it's not coming from my house. I don't make that into a prayer, because it's a pointless prayer.
A prayer on stuff that already happened retroactively.
Yeah, you can't change it, can't undo it. What's Hashem going to do with that prayer? It's very nice. I understand that you're, what do you want me to do? Done. Okay. Tanuna Rabbana, we learned in a brighter. Ma'aseh beHillel HaZaken. There was an incident with Hillel HaZaken. Shayah ba baderech. He was coming along the way. V'shama kol tzavachan ba'ir. And he heard a screaming from the city. So what did Hillel say? Amar, he said, Muvtach ani, I'm certain. She'ein zeh betoch beiti, that it's not coming from my house. I'm certain it's not coming from my house. I know my wife's screaming, that's not that. It will be a lot louder, right? No, or whatever it is. Right? That's, I know it, it's not coming from my house. Va'alav ha-ketuv omer. And about him, about Hillel, the Pasuk says, Kilu, right, he came after it, obviously, the Tehillim was talking about that situation like Hillel. Mishmua ra'a lo yira nachon libo betuach Hashem. From bad, hearing bad things, right, from hearing bad news, hearing bad things, lo yira, he won't be afraid. Nachon libo, his heart is firm, is strong. Batuach Hashem, trusting in Hashem. Right, so here, I'm not quite sure why we bring this, because this doesn't go against the Mishnah. Right, he didn't say, may it not be your will. He said, I'm confident, I have the absolute trust in Hashem, that's not coming from my house. What are we going to learn from that? Footnote. Dodo. Okay, so let's see what the Gemara says about it. What's the Gemara say about that? Amar Rava, Kol heichi de darashta lahaikra. No matter how you explain this verse, Mireisha l'seifa midrash, from the beginning to the end, you explain it, meaning you explain it correctly, says here. The Seifa L'Reisha Midrash, where when you explain it from the end to the beginning, you also can explain it correctly. What does he mean? So he now explains both sides. Mireisha L'Seifa, from the front to the back, from the beginning to the end, you explain as follows. Mashmua Ra'a Lo Yira. When you hear bad news, you're not afraid. Mata'am, what's the reason that you're not afraid? And then you've got the next half of the verse, which explains Nachon Libo B'Toach Hashem, because your heart is strong and you trust in Hashem. So that's how you can explain the verse very nicely. But you could go the other way too, from the Sefer to the Reisha, from the end to the beginning. You can also explain it how Nachon Libo B'Toach Hashem, a person who his trust is strong, who is his heart is strong and is confident in Hashem. Mashmura Lo Yira, when he hears bad news, he won't be afraid. I'm not sure whether there's a huge difference between those two. Just think them out. If you hear bad news, you won't be afraid because you trust in Hashem. And if you trust in Hashem, when you hear bad news, you won't be afraid. I'm not clear that there's a huge difference, but obviously there is. But you just have to have a sharper brain than me to work to see the exact difference in reading it both ways. If you hear bad news, you won't fear because you trust in Hashem, is one way. But if you trust in Hashem and you hear bad news, you won't fear. Tom, it's too similar for me to find
news.
A difference.
If you hear bad news,
yeah,
and you trust in Hashem,
yeah,
you won't fear.
Uh-huh.
Right. And if you
trust in Hashem,
if you hear bad news, you won't fear because you trust in Hashem.
Right. It's two levels of emunah.
I can't find the difference between
the first level,
yeah.
If you get bad news,
yeah,
and you trust in Hashem, you won't fear.
Yeah.
Is a person who accepts that it's bad news and then comes to a level of Amunah afterwards and says, I don't fear, it's only Hashem, it's all for the good. The other way around is the higher level of Amunah, where you trust in Hashem and you hear bad news, there is no bad.
Then you won't fear.
You won't fear. There is no bad, period. It's the higher level of emunah.
Okay, yes, sir. Okay, very nice. Thank you. Okay, so it seems to me that incident with Hillel doesn't come to really give us any further information on our Mishnah. I don't know if you think differently. Like, the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to say, may you're not allowed to say, may it be your will that it's not from my house. And then the Gemara says, let me tell you what happened with Hillel. Hillel said, I'm confident that's not in my house. End of sugya. What's the Gemara coming to tell us here? That the mission is the mission, and that's correct. And Hillel, in case you thought Hillel, it doesn't even go that way. You could have said, in case you thought Hillel did something which was apparently against our Mishnah, you should know he didn't. That's not really the flow of the Mishnah. The Mishnah just said, let me tell you an incident of what Hillel did. And Hillel learned it from the verse. It just seems to be almost that here's a similar incident that we're just going to bring in here because it's similar to our Mishnah. Has no impact either way. Doesn't contradict it, doesn't support it, doesn't do nothing. Just, here's an incident, this is what Hillel did. Happens to be very similar to our Mishnah. Don't know, but it seems to me there must be more. You don't just bring something, just stand, by the way, this also happens.
The Mishnah's telling you what you can't do.
Yeah.
And Rav Hillel's telling you what you can do in two different perspectives. In one, the lower form of the Muna, and one of the in the higher form of the Muna.
Okay, yeah, fair. That's good, I like that. Svi, 9 o'clock.
Yes, on my way.
I will, give me a photo.
On my way, 9 o'clock. That'd be great.
Okay.
Yes. Let's say the story about the bush, right? When you have a hand in your house, it means you steal.
Okay.
So when you never steal,
you never
there's a lot of hand on the houses. You know? I have no answer, man.
No, I think no. Hashem is not doesn't need to tell me. If Hashem wants to tell me, he sends me ants. If Hashem's not even speaking to me because he doesn't care about me anymore, what's the point of sending him ants? He's not listening. I'm not going to do anything for him. So he doesn't need to send me ants. Doesn't mean I'm not stealing. Right? There are very rich people who steal a lot. They have a beautiful home, they don't have any ants. Doesn't mean they're not stealing. It just means Hashem's not talking to them.
And that could even work.
So you can't go to someone's house and decide whether or not they're a thief or not by looking around the kitchen and seeing if you see any ants. Because some people Hashem's going to speak to in that way. If he is, so... Yeah?
Well, I was never flying in the trash. My people were away, there's no flying. So, you see, there's around 5 miles. I know, my home is no flat. So, why you come here?
Yeah, but that kid, I've got screens. I've got screens on the windows.
Huh?
I have screens on the windows. That's why I have no flies. It's not because I'm traveling.
Oh, you can have to. You can close the windows and you have flies now.
Could be, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Hashem is trying to tell me I'm holy just because I don't have any flies.
The same, you know.
It's not always that Hashem always uses this message for this thing. It happens to be in that situation. Hashem showed that they're very holy by not having any flies. But it doesn't mean all people that don't have flies are holy.
But he knows.
Who?
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's Hillel. He was holy by that Muna. Right.
So you know he was right.
Yeah, I don't understand.
You know he was,
It's an interesting piece. I don't understand the... Right. To be confident that it's not coming from my home, to have that. But why? I mean, even if I do have ultimate faith in Hashem, everything's for the good. How can I be confident it's not coming from my home? If Hashem wants to do that, he's going to do that, right? There's lots of occasions where apparently very difficult things happen to Sadiqim. Right, so it's not like the Tzaddik can say nothing. So it's not like the Tzaddik can say nothing bad's going to ever happen to me or my home or whatever, and I know that Hashem will never do that to me, Kilu. Because no, we see that they have tests, they have very difficult tests. So I'm not quite sure why.
Rashi gives a nice explanation.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Going back to the sandal.
The which? The sandal?
So,
yes.
Rashi says that the sandal is when you're afraid that you don't have twins. The second twin will
squash.
Squash
it. One twin can squash the other one.
One twin doesn't come out flat. And he says the surah of the will be like a fish of the sea, which is called Cheshimo Sandal.
That's it.
Sandal is
the name of a fish called
Sandal. And he says the Sandal, Domele Sandal.
Which is why it's called a Sandal, because it's similar to a...
It says in your second Nida.
Right. All right. Right. Yeah, here I think he also said that the... Right. Right. The it says a second embryo that will conceive will... Good question.